Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. Amen. And it's exciting. You know, look at the kids here. I got to get y'all excited like that whenever we go into the countdown.
That's right.
But you know, whenever I blast off, I want to go to heaven. How about you? That's right. But thank you for being here this morning. Y'all got a special treat this morning. My wife is going to be sharing for Mother's Day, and that's going to be exciting. A couple of things I want to go over with you before we get started here is, ladies and guys, you can be out there. You see the photo booth out there. They've got their crazy hats from their Tuesday night thing. I mean, y'all saw them crazy pictures on Facebook this week of their women's fellowship. But mothers, get your pictures taken out there and put them on social media where people can see it. And that's something that God's doing also. I didn't expect Nancy to be here this morning, but Scott's father went home to be with the Lord on Friday afternoon. And, you know, it was rejoicing. I wanted to share something with you about Scott's dad, though. Nancy sent me the obituary yesterday. And this was so touching. And now we see why Scott is the servant that he is, Scott Fletcher, that helps with all the dinners, and he's a board member here. His dad's name was Ed. Said Ed founded Fletcher Machine Shop in 1962 and was involved in it until he sold it in 2021. He passed away. He was 95 years old. Now, he just retired 2 years ago. Although at retirement at age 62, he continued to go to work 6 days a week. He loved his work, but this is the best thing. His greatest compassion was spreading the gospel of Christ through his support of missions and travels. He impacted the countries of Nigeria, Uruguay, El Salvador, Mexico, as well as his local churches of Day Spring, Sunlight, and Calvary Assembly of God. For almost 30 years, he founded and funded solely operated Midway Correspondence, creating Christian literature that he distributed to prisoners free of charge. He was able to impact people throughout his lifetime, but always wanted to do more. What a testimony of a man there.
Amen.
Now I see where Scott and Nancy gets their servant's heart for. And you know, folks, it's so exciting. But keep them in your prayers this week as they go through this memorial service.
Amen. You know, when someone passes, when it's a Christian, it's a win. Right? It's a win because we know where Mr. Fletcher is. But for the family, there's an empty chair. There's an empty place during the holidays, and that's what's hard. So the family needs your prayers. Mr. Fletcher's good. He's real good. But we do want to remember the family in prayer. Thank you guys for being here today. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. And we want to celebrate you today. And there is a basket. Miss Fran is always, she's so awesome. You know, Miss Fran is wonderful. She has put together a little basket of gifts for you mothers. So make sure you pick up something, pick up an item on your way out today. And thank you, Miss Fran, for taking care of that. She takes good care of me. And I just want to welcome all the visitors today. If you are a first-time visitor, have never been to Trinity, we have visitors' cards in the pews. If you want to fill one out and stop at the cafe on your way out on the left, and you will receive a little gift from Trinity. So thank you for being here. And I want to say a special thank you for my family for being here. My brother and sister-in-law are on the front row with me this morning, all the way from Bushnell, Florida.
So we've already seen one miracle take place. My mom's moved to the front row.
She's no longer sliding back. She's moving up. Thank you for being here. We're going to pray and just ask God's blessings over our service today. And I just want you to join me in prayer. Father God, you are so awesome. We just love you. We thank you for mothers. We all have a mother or had a mother, so we're all touched by a life. And whether there are mothers here or ladies who have never had a child or perhaps those who've lost children or lost their mother, Mother's Day, this is a day that's not easy for everyone. So, Lord, I pray that you will comfort their hearts. You will just love on them during this day. I pray your blessings on them. And Lord, we ask your blessings on our time together today. Every word that's spoken, every song that's sung, we pray that it will glorify you. And we thank you for every life that is here today. We know no one's here by accident. And we pray, God, that you will just minister to us by the power of your Spirit. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, and thank you for being here. Before we get started, we have some gag gifts we're going to get away. And let me tell you, my mom, if I wouldn't say something like that, she would think something's wrong. A couple of years ago, I preached a message about 50 minutes long. And she met me right there in the middle of the aisle before I was walking down. She says, "I guess I don't have to come to church tonight. You preached two messages in one service." So that's why, you know, that's just a relationship that we have with each other. And, you know, one thing about it, she'll let us know where all of us, she lets us know where we stand. But we love her and thank you. I'm blessed to have her this morning. So this morning, we're going to start out. The mother with the most kids. The mother with the most kids this morning. How many has? So I know, Brett, you've got four. Anybody have more than four? Who? Six. Okay, come on up here. Come on up here. The mother with the youngest child. The mother with the youngest child. What's the youngest child we have here this morning? How old is yours back there? 19 months. Do we have one younger than 19 months? We need Ben, you and Gunner come up here and be runners for us. Okay. 19 months. Okay. Where? Back in the back there. With the baby standing up. Okay. The oldest mother. Now I'm going to tell you, mine's 88. Can anybody outdo 88? Huh? BB's 88 also. Okay. BB's. Okay, BB's right back there by my... Yeah, but she was in February. Oh, Ruby. She don't want to think she's 88. Take them back there to BB, please. She just acts it. Over there. Okay. Lady on a diet. Everybody stand up, please. Lady on a diet. Who's on a diet? Lady in the wheelchair back there. We got a little baby plate to eat your meals on. Lady who had a fender bender recently and told about it. Lady who had a fender bender recently and told about it. Back there, Heather, back in the back. Oh, who? Who else? Miss Marge. Heather, when was yours? Heather. When? January? February? Okay, Miss Marge over there. Okay. Yes. Lady who has killed a plant. All of you. Okay, which one's killed the plant recently? Huh? Miss Linda, when did you kill yours? Last week?
Every day.
Every day. Well, we've got somebody that's in a plant farm here. Maybe he can teach y'all how to grow them. Silk plant that never dies. Take it to Miss Linda right there. Raise your hand, Miss Linda. Lady who sings with the radio. Lady who sings with the radio. Who's that? Lori. Lori, where's Lori? Money for music lessons. Right here is Lori. Money for music lessons. Lady who recently argued with her husband about whether to cook or go out to eat. Hmm? Lady who recently argued with her husband about the cook or go out to eat at a restaurant. Come on now.
Nobody?
Huh? Yes. Chocolate kisses. So you can kiss and make up back there in the back. Lady who killed a bug recently. We got one back there. When did you kill a bug? Huh? Every day. Okay, a fly swatter. Okay, so lady by the wheel. Lady who pulled weeds recently. When did you pull weeds? Yesterday? Day before? Well, both of y'all, what time? Huh? Give it the lady back there a pair of gloves. A lady who's been accused of whining. Keith, would you please stand up? A lady who's been accused of whining. Right there, Miss Sharon. A pacifier. Angie said the one with the six kids needs the fly swatter. Lady who forgot where she put something. Everybody. Sticky notes. Who needs it? Take it, Sherry. Sticky notes to mark everything. Lady who pointed her finger at someone. Okay, lady who pointed her... Audrey there. There's a mirror where you can look at yourself. Lady who jogs or works out. That's got to be Lori. Aunt Lori there. Deodorant. Right here. Mother who's changed a nasty baby diaper. That's got a baby. Mother, recently. Okay. Clothespins. Where you don't have to smell it. Lady who woke up late recently. Lady who woke up late. Heather back there. Party horns. So someone can wake you up. Lady who had a flat tire. Goofy Putty the Patchet. Okay. And let's give all of our mothers a big hand this morning. Let's stand. We're going to go into praise and worship. And let's just worship the Lord.
You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God. I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 'Cause you stepped into my Egypt. You took me by the hand, and you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. And now I will not forget you, God. I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this place today. We thank you for meeting us at our point of need. And we just worship you today for all the goodness and the grace that you give to us every day, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
All throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak, that fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory.
The presence of my
how I fight my battles. And I believe you've overcome. And I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. In the valley, I know that you're with me. And surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles. And I believe you've overcome. And I will lift my song of praise for all you've done.
Fighting those battles for us. He's there no matter what. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Folks, you're not here today by mistake. God has a plan for you. He's already written your story. You just have to trust Him to know that He's got you in the palm of His hands. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
What He's done, what He's done. All the glory. No greater sacrifice. future is heaven. And I praise God for what He's done. Sing for the freedom He has won. Even death is dead and done. His life has overcome. Speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the grave. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and future is heaven, and I praise God for what He's done. Now, on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete, He reigns in victory.
Sing that one again.
Now, on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete, He reigns in victory. Sing hallelujah to the King, He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring. What He's done, what He's done, all the glory and the honor. Future is heaven, and I praise God for what He's done.
Sing that one more time.
What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven.
Take a moment and just thank God for what He's done this morning, church. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for what You have done, Lord. Father, our sins are forgiven, Lord. But not only on that cross, God, You paid the price for our healings this morning, Lord. And Father, we pray this morning, God, Lord, that we sing and we worship You, Lord, for what You have done. We give You thanks this morning, God. Thank You for what You have done. Thank You, Jesus. You may be seated just for a moment. We're going to go to prayer right now. If you're visiting with us, you're welcome to come down in just a moment. But this passage of Scripture come to me as we was over there worshiping, and I've used it many times. But Isaiah 53:4 says, "Surely He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God in affliction. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by His stripes, we are healed." As we've been in praise and worship this morning and been singing, and I've been just praying and thinking of the goodness of God and how good He's been to some of us here at this church this year and years past. But we still have some needs in the church. We still need to remember that everything in this book is the truth. And it says, by His stripes, we are healed. It don't say by His stripes we might be healed. It says by His stripes we are healed. And this morning as we go to prayer, I'm going to ask my wife to come down with me. But if you need healing this morning, maybe a financial need or a family need, step out of your seat. I want us to remember Kathy this morning. She is doing better, but she's got a long journey ahead of her. Patty Adams has had a heart cath, but she's still very weak. Remember Miss Vera this morning. She was here this morning, and she was just out of breath. She can't get over this cold that she had or whatever, and she went back home. But, folks, I believe every word that's in this Bible. Amen. And I believe this morning that we serve a healing God. Amen. I believe as we've sang these songs this morning, every one of them is true. So if you have a need this morning, as we're pray, and if we step out of your seats and just come down here and let us anoint you with oil this morning.
I love you, Lord.
mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. So, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
You are Lord.
Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. And Father, as that song says, you are worthy of it all, God. Lord, there's many needs we've called out this morning. We lift Kathy up to you this morning, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, for complete and total healing in her body, Lord. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as she continues to go through these treatments, God, that there will be no side effects. Lord, that you'll just touch her, Lord. We believe in for healing in Kathy's body, Lord. Father, we lift Patty up to you this morning, Lord. That, Lord, I ask that you'll just give her the strength she needs, Lord. She wants to be in this house worshiping you. And we pray this morning, God. Lord, touch her. Father, we lift Miss Vera up to you this morning, Lord. Father, we pray for her lungs, Lord, for her breathing. Lord, for her breathing to, Lord, just get stronger and stronger, Lord. Lord, touch her, touch that family this morning, Lord. Father, there's many other needs. We lift Brother Potts up to you today, Lord. Father, it's his leg, that meniscus, they don't know what they're going to do. But Lord, you're the healer. Father, show yourself mightily in his body this morning, Lord. Father, you can open blind eyes. You can make deaf ears hear. Father, you can heal that knee this morning, Lord. Father, we pray for our country this morning, Lord. Father, we pray for unity in our country this morning, God. Lord, that we will come together, Lord. And Father, the churches will come together. And Father, we will lift up your name. And Father, the next generations that's coming up behind us, God, that they will see that this country was founded on biblical principles. Father, give us the opportunity, Lord, to show you're strong again, Lord. Father, just continue to be with us this morning. Continue to be with us in this service, Lord. Father, as we've sang, you are worthy of it all. Father, you are worthy of everything this morning. You deserve the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord. Lord, continue to be with us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him thanks, church. Father, thank you for answering prayers. Thank you for being so good to us this morning, Lord. Father, thank you for what you're doing. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Before I introduce my wife, we are blessed this morning to have Desire's son with us. He's a missionary to India. Maybe you just want to share something real quick.
Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. And God is working in India.
All right. Thank you. And I told him, I said, one Sunday morning or Wednesday night, whenever you see you're in town, let us know, and we would love to have you come share. We have supported him. This morning, thank you, Penny. Thank you, worship team, for the praise and worship. God is so good. Every one of us this morning has got a mother here. God is so good. I'm going to invite my wife to come up to the platform this morning. She's going to be sharing. I told somebody this morning, I said, man, I need to let her preach every Sunday. Look at the crowd. But you know, as we were singing that song, God is so good. And I think of my 40 years of being married to this woman here, God has been good.
Amen.
All of them hasn't been easy on her. You know, there's a BC and an AC, before Christ and after Christ. You know, and I know, but you know what? God has been good because he put us together and he's kept us together.
Amen.
2 months ago, usually whenever we come up on Mother's Day and she speaks, there's a little battle that goes on in our house. And she says, I'm not a preacher, I'm a speaker. And she says, can't you find somebody else? Well, about 2 months ago, we woke up and she says, I've got my message for Mother's Day.
Amen.
I said, well, thank you, Lord, for taking care of that battle this year. But you know, you've heard me say this a few times, but I am thankful for God's goodness. As y'all know, last year she spoke and she was going through chemotherapy and that cancer treatment, and she didn't argue, she didn't complain. She's come up here and she spoke and she gave God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. That's the type of woman this lady is.
Amen.
Right. You know, I can say as a pastor, I can get a phone call in the middle of the night to go to the hospital and she don't complain. Sometimes she will go with me because she's a pastor's wife. She's got a servant's heart. She's a woman of God.
Amen.
And we are thankful this year that we can stand here in front of you as a church. And she is cancer free because of the goodness of God and because of prayers and because of people praying this morning. She's able to come and share with y'all what God has laid on her heart.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, my dear husband, for that introduction. And it is a miracle that we are still married. I will tell you that. Honestly. If you heard our testimony, and probably most of you have, because when we first came to this church as lead pastors, we were very open and honest and got up here together and told our stuff. And it's a miracle that we are together. Thanks be to God. He had to put us in a place to get our attention. But he did get our attention, and we have never been the same. Now, little did I know way back then that he would be called into the ministry. I mean, I was probably laying on the floor for a couple of days, just passed out whenever that happened, because it was just unbelievable. It was unbelievable what God did and is still doing. So I am thankful. I'm thankful for my family. I am thankful to be a mother. And it is a blessing to have my grandchildren here with me on the front row here today, too. I am thankful. And how many grandparents do we have in the house? You're thankful, aren't you? Your grandmothers, you're thankful. What a blessing. And although not everybody has that honor, our hearts hurt for you as well. You know, there's a lot of people who've lost their mothers. I've lost my mother. I have an amazing mother down here on the front row, my mother in love. And I appreciate Ruby. Ever since I've been a Paget, I was a Maddox for 23 years before I became a Paget. And she was always a mother instead of a mother-in-law. And I can honestly say that. We were friends before me and my husband were friends. So she has a very special place in my heart. And now that my mother is in heaven waiting on me, she fills that void as well. So, Ruby, I appreciate you. So, this morning, we're going to talk about leftovers. Now, you mamas, most of you mamas probably know about leftovers. Anybody do leftovers? You know what leftovers are, I would assume. Leftovers is food that's left over normally from a meal, right? From a meal. And sometimes they are in the refrigerator for a little too long maybe, and they turn into must-goes. They must go. So anyway, leftovers is what we're going to be talking about today. And I have been known to stand in front of the refrigerator with a fork and take out a bowl or something of cold peas or food of some sort and eat it right cold as ever, because I love leftovers. There's nothing wrong with leftovers, right? So today we're going to talk about leftovers. And we're going to be reading in the Bible. God was he was about leftovers too. This is in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14. Okay? So it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, lots of people, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here, a little boy, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. Likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments, the leftovers that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We know your word is anointed. Lord, we pray, God, that you will use me this morning. Don't let this just be words. I don't want my words used at all, Lord. I want your words and your anointing from your Holy Spirit. Work on us. Move in us and change every heart and life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the test, the lack. How many of you have a testimony? Have God's ever done something for you? Yes. But you did not have a testimony. You could not raise your hand unless you had gone through a test. You don't have a testimony without a test. So there was a test here. There was a lack. There was not enough food. And there was a lot of people. Verse 5 says, then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where is the closest Chick-fil-A? Where's the closest McDonald's? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. He was asking Philip, where are we going to get food to feed all these people? Now the people were coming from everywhere, and the Bible says the Passover was near, so crowds were coming into town. Plus, they had heard about this Jesus who was healing people, healing disease, opening eyes. And man, when you hear about something like that, you want to be there. You want to see for yourself what's going on. That's what was happening. And a large crowd was coming toward Jesus. Now imagine being the speaker and seeing all those people coming up the hill. Of course, they were outside. All those people coming. And it says 5,000 men. Plus there were women. plus there were children. We know there was at least one child, and I would venture to say there was a lot more than that. So there was a lot of people coming toward Jesus. Now, he didn't have to feed them. They probably weren't expecting for lunch to be provided at this meeting. But Jesus asked Philip where to get enough to feed all these people. Philip immediately started calculating the cost and knew it. There was no way. There was just no way. We could gather all the denarii from all these people and there still wouldn't be enough to feed all these people. Now, why do you think Philip asked this question? The verse 6 said that he said it to test him, that Jesus said it to test him, even though he already knew what he would do. Jesus knew where the food was going to come from, if it was going to come. But he asked Philip anyway. You know how it is when you're in a church service, we're all in here together, listening to the same message from the same speaker at the same time, and Holy Spirit will speak to you about certain things. He'll speak to you about certain things. He'll speak to me about certain things, and they might all be different things. That's how he works. So, but we all have our own personal walk with the Lord, just like Philip did. And God is constantly teaching us as individuals. So Philip was walking. He was walking with the Lord. He was one of his disciples. He was literally walking with him. And I can't help but think, just like with us, that he was about to teach him something amazing. He wanted perhaps to hear what Philip thought. What was his reaction going to be with that to that question? Perhaps testing his faith. I don't know for sure. But God, Jesus was up to something, wasn't he? In the middle of your test, even when you might not be even thinking or calling it a test, Jesus is up to something. He is up to something. When you walk with him, like Philip walked with him, he is there and is always working out his plan for us, for each of us. And it's a plan for good, by the way. God does not have any bad plans for anybody. It's a plan for good and for his glory. Jesus had an opportunity through this test. He had an opportunity. The opportunity, the lunch. Verse 9, Andrew is saying this. There is a lad here. What's a lad? Little boy who has 5 barley loaves and two small fish. But what are they among so many? One little boy, one small lunch of 5 little barley loaves and 2 little fish. But that was not nearly enough. It was not nearly enough. Have you ever felt like you weren't nearly enough? I have. I have, and I know you have. Probably everybody in here has at some time or another. Weren't enough for the challenge. You weren't enough for the job. You weren't enough to raise those kids. You weren't enough to walk through this trial of sickness or problems. I don't have what it takes. How many times have we told ourselves that? I don't have what it takes to lead this group. I don't have what it takes to minister. I don't have what it takes to be a good mom. This little boy had something Jesus could use, and he stepped up. And out of over 5,000 people, this boy... Now, I don't know if it happened like this, okay, but I'm trying to picture it. This little boy held up his little lunch bag, offering what he had to feed those people. Verse 11 says, and Jesus took the loaves. He took that little boy's lunch. He took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, you know, even Jesus gave thanks to the Father, didn't he? When he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, 12 disciples, and then those 12 disciples distributed them to those sitting down, and then likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. as much food as they wanted. The little boy gave what he had. He gave all he had. And he put it in the hands of Jesus. Something always changes when Jesus touches it. Always. I was never the same after Jesus touched me, after he came into my heart and my life. And since then, and I've been through some stuff. You've all been through some stuff. And Jesus was right there with me. And let me say this right here. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you ain't going to go through some stuff. We're going to go through some stuff. And that's biblical too. There's verses that say that. Something always changes when Jesus touches it, when it's put into his hands. Jesus, thank God, he gave thanks for what he had, as small as it was, and he started giving out the food to the disciples as much as they wanted. What would happen if we were that thankful, even during times of lack, even during the not enough? What if we were thankful anyway? What would happen, you think? When you have a child or a teenager that makes you do this, or someone else in your life that makes you do that, you feel like they're not enough, they're not giving enough, they're not making enough effort in your eyes, it's just not enough. How about if we thank God for them anyway and believe that he is in the test? He's in the test with you. Maybe the lack is felt in your worth as a spouse, as a parent, as a man, as a woman. Thank God anyway. You find something to thank God for. Turn everything to him, just as the boy turned over his lunch to Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, rejoice always. Not just when things are going good, y'all. It says rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. And in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Now, it's hard to thank God sometimes for everything. But in everything, during that trial, during that test, during that situation, thank him. Even if you're shaking your head, thank you, God. I don't understand it, but thank you anyway. I know you're going to do something through this. That's faith. What if we were not only thankful, but continued in faith with our little bit? And I ain't giving up attitude. I ain't giving up. Do it no matter what, to the best of your ability, whatever it is. Maybe it's a person that's hard to love. Do it anyway, to the best of your ability. The word says that it went from Jesus' hands to the disciples' hands, and they gave the people all they wanted. That tells me they were satisfied. They got full. Sometimes the miracle is in the walking, in the stepping out. Just do it. You're walking by faith. I don't understand, but Lord, I'm walking with you anyway. I'm doing this anyway. I don't understand. I don't even like it, God. You ever told God that? I have. Lord, I don't like this. I don't understand this. But okay, I trust you. This isn't fun. It's certainly not easy. I didn't sign up for this. This is real life. This is real life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's not by sight. It's not always going to look like anything's happening. By faith, God is working. God is working. When we are in God's will, in his hands, we can safely walk by faith. Not have to see the answer. Not have to see the miracle to know God is working. That know that God is with us. But to have faith that he is working before we see it. Before we see it. Let's talk about the miracle. The leftovers. Verse 12 says, so when they were filled, I still can't get over that, 5 loaves, 2 fish, over 5,000 people. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. In other words, get all of them leftovers. Don't you drop a bit of it. Get all those leftovers. Verse 13 says, therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Leftovers. There's leftovers. 12 baskets. And how many disciples were there? 12. You know, God doesn't make mistakes, does he? Perhaps one basket for each disciple? I don't know. Not only did God provide enough lunch, and that would have been a miracle right there, right? That would have been amazing. But he provided more than enough. Leftovers. And God saved the leftovers. Evidently, he wasn't done. Now, I don't know what he did with it. Maybe he sent it home with some people. Maybe he fed the disciples. But he wasn't done. He has a purpose for our leftovers. He said, so that nothing is lost. And that gives me hope. Number one, because there's surplus with God. There's more than enough with God. And I can trust him for that. And number two, I know that he can and he wants to do something with this little bit that I have, with this inadequate human being that I am. He can do something with it. He can and he wants to with me and with you. He could have easily said that there was plenty more food where that came from. Just let the birds eat it. Just throw it to the birds. But he saved the leftovers. Now, what can we learn from leftovers? What's he trying to teach us about the leftovers? Number one, maybe he's trying to teach us to expect more. Expect more. We are learning, and he is teaching us to expect more. When we pray, expect God to do what he says he'll do, above and beyond. Expect some leftovers, some overflow from our prayers. Everyone that stepped forward this morning, they didn't just come up here to be in front of you. They came up in faith for a need. And they are expecting God to meet their need. They stepped out in faith, not for anybody up here that was praying for him, to God. To God, expecting him to do it. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. But you gotta ask, you gotta seek, and you gotta knock. Get his attention. Get the Lord's attention. Let him know what you want. Something else we can learn from leftovers is that God cares about all of our needs. All of them. He did not have to feed those people that day, but he provided for their physical needs. He was teaching. He was preaching, and I mean, I don't know what all he said, but he was out there healing and teaching, but he was concerned about their lunch. More, not more, but just as much as their hearts and teaching them. He was concerned where their lunch was going to come from. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We serve a God of more than enough. We serve a God of leftovers. And I want to just take a minute. Sometimes we feel like the leftover. You feel like a must-go, perhaps. Let's don't think that way. God has a plan and a purpose for you. You kids, woo, if you can see what God sees. You grandmas, if you could see what God sees, and all the in between, God has a purpose and he has a plan, and you are not a leftover. And we were talking about leftovers being good, but sometimes here we think, I just think, God, I just can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Another thing that we can learn from leftovers, God is a miracle-working God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you ever read or heard one of the miracles in the Bible? Just one even? I mean, the Bible's full of miracles. So if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is still in the miracle business. He has not changed. He did it before. He can do it again. The Bible is full. And you know who gets to see miracles? Those who ask. Those who believe in the miracles. Now, miracles come in different ways. I know that. We're not going to get into all of that. Believe for your miracle. If you need a miracle, believe for it. Pray for it. And don't stop. And thank him for it before you even get it. Okay? Thank him for it now. Another thing, God never wastes anything. Nothing is wasted. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. If you love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I believe every one of us are called to something by God. So he's teaching us that he doesn't waste anything in our lives. And we could sit here and have a list of our junk, our bad stuff. It's easy to remember the bad stuff because the devil's going to make sure you do. But there's good stuff too. But all of that can be turned around for good. God's not going to waste your stuff. He's not going to waste any of that. And he is working around for good. He's working all things together for your good and for his glory. So he's teaching us that all things, good and bad, are not wasted. They're not wasted. Imagine being the disciples that day. Imagine being there that day and gathering your basket of leftovers. You saw the boys' lunch. You see all the people. Now here you are with your basket of leftovers sitting in front of you. Perhaps they were sitting in the grass, just looking at the surplus with amazement. Who is this that we're following? Perhaps they were pondering the magnitude in which the Master moves. I imagine we would think about how wonderful this Jesus really is that we are following. This Jesus that you and I are following, he's pretty amazing. He's pretty amazing. How it's worth it to follow him and never give up. The disciples didn't have it easy. A lot of us don't have it easy always. But it's worth following God. How when we are down to our last little bit, he can provide whatever it is we need, plus have some leftovers. He never wastes anything, including our hurts. In Celebrate Recovery, we have a little slogan, God never wastes a hurt. Never waste a hurt. He has a plan and a purpose, and it's for good again. Another thing that we learn from our leftovers is that we can all participate. Jesus loves you. Do you know that? He loves you just like you are. Just like you are. And he wants you to be a participant. He wants me to be a participant. Those who put all they have into God's hands and say, God, bless what I have. Use it for your purpose, Lord. Here I am. Have your way in me. I can't, but you can. Whatever it is, however you want to say it. Those are the ones who will experience the leftovers, the overflow. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that day in his hands. He thanked Father God for it. He put it into the disciples' hands, and they gave it out. And they gave it out. And they kept giving it out. I wonder what that looked like. I mean, was it just forming in Jesus' hands? Can you imagine? They kept giving it out until all were filled, the Bible says. They were all participants in the miracle, every one of them. And Jesus was glorified, because here's what the word says in verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Who is just Jesus? You see, it's not just about us. It's not just for us. It's for others to see him. Jesus always wants to be glorified, and we should always be pointing to him. Through our good stuff, through our bad stuff, y'all, we should be pointing to Jesus, giving him the glory, giving him the praise and honor for anything good, it's about him. The people were in awe of Jesus that day when they were part of that miracle. And that's what happens when we allow Jesus to work through our test. Invite him into your test. He creates an opportunity to perform his work. And that's when we can experience miracles with leftovers. And there may be some here today who feel less than, feel inadequate, like you're not enough, never will be enough. Perhaps you've had somebody tell you that so many times that it's just kind of pounded into you. You feel like you'll never have enough or be enough, that you don't have what it takes. Well, this is what God says. He says to do as the little boy did that day and put what you have into his hands. Let him bless you. Let him do above and beyond what you ask or even think. You cannot be in better hands than God's. Your family, your children, your job, your situation cannot be in any better hands. Sometimes we have to release people into God's hands. He wants to provide an abundance of blessings for you with surplus, with leftovers. And all you have to do is trust him with all of it. Put it in his hands. Put yourself in his hands. You know, it can seem and look like we got it all together. Everything just hunky-dory. Y'all say that, hunky-dory? Oh, me. Everything looks hunky-dory. But if this here, something's missing here, you're missing it. Jesus wants to fill that void. Jesus wants to do a work in each and every one of us. But we have to submit ourselves to him, put it in his hands, put our lives into his hands. Moms, when Jesus touches you, you will be more than enough. Amen. You will be more than enough. We know you have a tough job sometimes. Motherhood is not for sissies. Everyone here in this today, not just moms, but there's something more. There's something more. There's leftovers available for you as well. Abundance, that's our God. But you have to take what you've got, all you have, and put it in God's hands. I want to pray over you. Father God, you know these people. I know some of them. I know some of them casually, some more than others, but you know them. You know them intimately. Lord, you know their hearts, but you also know the plan that you have for them. And I think there's just so many that they just don't know it. They're just not walking in that, or maybe they don't believe it. I don't know, but you do. So God, we ask that you will minister. We believe you already have, you already are. So God, may everyone just put what they have into your hands. If there's anyone who does not know you as their personal Savior, if they've never made that commitment in their heart to live for you, God, not to be perfect, but just say, "Here I am. If you can do something with this, thank you." That's all we have to do. So God, speak to each heart. Do what you would have done today And we thank you for the leftovers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's just close our eyes for a moment and sing this song that Penny's playing right now. It's so good. God is so as your eyes close, your heads are bowed. What a powerful message. Thank you for this message this morning, honey. But somebody might be here this morning and you might feel like you're that leftover. You don't have a purpose. You don't have a purpose in God's kingdom. How can God love me for everything I've done? That's the good thing about God. The good thing about him is he takes the leftovers and makes something out of them. He don't look at our past, but he looks at our future. Some of you boys and girls here this morning might be saying, Pastor Chuck, you know, I don't know. I just prayed for a child this morning and went right along with this message. But maybe somebody here this morning, you're going through a situation, you're going through a test like Sherry shared this morning. God loves you. God's got plans. If you're going through a test this morning, you need prayer just for a moment. It's still early. I want to ask you just to stand up, step up, come up front. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you heard what the miracles he's performed. Maybe you're saying, Pastor Chuck, I want to get things right this morning. If that's you, just stand up right now and come down forward and let us pray with you this morning. Maybe you're feeling you're a leftover. But Jesus is saying, you're not a leftover. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose for you. That's you this morning, just as we're closing. Everybody stand, if you would, please. Maybe somebody, the Holy Spirit speaking to you. If that's you, just step out of your seat. Come forward as we sing this chorus here one more time. Need prayer, just step out as she sings this next verse.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have
Father, we're so thankful for this morning, God. Father, we're so thankful for the word that was brought this morning, Lord. All of our life, you have been faithful. All of our life, you've been so, so good. Father, there's people in here this morning, God, that's hurting, but Lord, let them know this morning, Father, that you've got a plan and you've got a purpose for them, Lord. Father, this morning, Lord, we're so thankful for each mother that's here and some that's not here, God. Father, we're thankful for each person that's here this morning, God. Lord, for what you are doing in our lives, Lord. But most of all, God, on this Mother's Day, we will sing of the goodness of God. We will sing how faithful you have been to each and every one of us. Father, we pray, God, that you will continue to bless us, continue to lead us, continue to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. Happy Mother's Day. Don't forget, there's a get your picture taken back there. Let's sing this song with Penny as we're leaving.
The goodness.